Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
Were you ever taught when you were young? If you mess with things selfishly, they're bound to come undone. I'm not the only one that's been affected and resented every story you've spun, and I'm a lucky one. Cause there are people worse off that have suffered enough. Haven't they suffered enough? But you can't get enough of shutting down systems for personal gain, fighting fires with liars and praying for rain. Do you get up on pain? We're not pawns in your game. Commander-in-chief, honestly, if I did the things you do, I couldn't sleep. Seriously, do you even know the truth? We're in a state of crisis. People are dying while you line your pockets deep. Commander-in-chief, how does it feel to still be able to breathe? We were taught when we were young, if we fight for what's right, there won't be justice for just some. Won't give up, stand our ground. We'll be in the streets while you're bunkering down. Loud and proud, best believe, we'll still take a knee while you're commander-in-chief. Honestly, if I did the things you do, I couldn't sleep. Seriously, do you even know the truth? We're in a state of crisis, people are dying while you line your pockets deep. Commander-in-chief, how does it feel to still be able to breathe? While you're bunkering down, won't give up, stand our ground. We'll be in the streets for your commander-in-chief. Honestly, if I did the things you do, I couldn't sleep. Seriously, do you even know the truth? We're in a state of crisis, people are dying while you line your pockets deep. Commander-in-chief, how does it feel?
Not going to talk about basketball. Nothing's happened with our team in the last 6 hours. We're going to start the same way tonight. Any basketball questions don't matter. Since we left Shoot Around, 14 children were killed 400 miles from here, and a teacher. And in the last 10 days, we've had elderly black people killed in a supermarket in Buffalo. We've had Asian churchgoers killed in Southern California, and now we have children murdered at school. When are we going to do something? I'm tired. I'm so tired of getting up here and offering condolences to the devastated families that are out there. I'm so tired of the, excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm tired of the moments of silence. Enough. There's 50 senators right now who refuse to vote on H.R. 8, which is a background check rule that the House passed a couple years ago. It's been sitting there for 2 years. And there's a reason they won't vote on it, to hold on to power. So I ask you, Mitch McConnell, I ask all of you senators who refuse to do anything about the violence and school shootings and supermarket shootings, I ask you, are you going to put your own desire for power ahead of the lives of our children and our elderly and our churchgoers? Because that's what it looks like. It's what we do every week. So I'm fed up. I've had enough. We're going to play the game tonight. But I want every person here, every person listening to this, to think about your own child or grandchild or mother or father or sister, brother. How would you feel if this happened to you today? We can't get numb to this. We can't sit here and just read about it and go, well, let's have a moment of silence. Yeah, go Dubs, you know. Come on, Mavs, let's go. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go play a basketball game. And 50 senators in Washington are going to hold us hostage. Do you realize that 90% of Americans, regardless of political party, want background check, universal background check? 90% of us, we are being held hostage by 50 senators in Washington who refuse to even put it to a vote, despite what we, the American people, want. They won't vote on it because they want to hold on to their own power. Pathetic. I've had enough.
Welcome to the GOC special edition of God's political power and race in the United States. My fellow Americans, we have a problem in the United States, and it's the cowboy image, the cowboy that won't leave the United States, cowboys shoot them up, bang, bang, and we love it. Macho. And this cowboy image is racist. This cowboy image goes back to the 1800s. They were against the Native American Indians. Now it's black people. In 1776, our forefathers wrote the Constitution and wrote in the Constitution the right to bear arms. At that time, they had muskets. It took them 2.5 minutes to reload the muskets. These muskets were against bears, lions, tigers, snakes, and Native Americans. Nobody, I mean nobody, that have an AR-15 is a civilian. Nobody. Enough of it is. Then Senator Biden and California Senator Dianne Feinstein had a bill in the 90s against assault weapons. Mass murder dropped 50% in 10 years. When that bill expired, Republican Party said, we ain't re-upping this. Mass murder going up year by year. last year, 6,000 children, American children died. 6,000. What are you doing? What are you doing? Doesn't make sense here. The American NRA has got a grip, a tight grip on the Republican Party. We don't care. We don't care. And this is why we have a problem in the United States. What are we doing? What are we doing? I want to go back to a little clip.
At what happened yesterday in Nashville at Covenant School and Covenant Presbyterian Church, and my family and I are grieving along with the rest of the community.
I couldn't believe it, so I wrote this thing down. Senator Marsha Blackburn, her comment after the massacre, "My office is in contact with federal, state, and local officials, and we stand ready to assist." In what? They're dead. What are you going to assist with?
But they're going to cloak all this stuff, you know, the myth of the Second Amendment, the freedom. You know, it's a myth. It's a joke. It's just a game they play. I mean, that's freedom. Is it freedom for kids to go to school and try to socialize and try to learn and be scared to death that they might die that day? Well, that'll create a great environment. Is that freedom?
It's almost ritualistic in the wake of tragedy here in America that elected officials who could very well be doing something to help preserve the lives of children instead opt to hide behind hollow words masquerading as empathy.
I just grieve for what they're going through. We have to work to protect children at school, and that means increasing security. And I have had legislation that would allow for training and hiring of veterans and former law enforcement officials to serve as school safety officers and to help protect our schools. It is time for us to pass that and to help keep our children safe.
But what's also become a normality, but unfortunately doesn't get the airtime because it's not as sexy as discussing whether or not LeBron James's average is higher with or without a headband. It's when Greg Popovich airs his feelings. The San Antonio Spurs coach understands the power of his platform and has used it many a times in the past to address pertinent issues across the United States. And in this instance, well, he calls out elected officials by name. He designated the first 10 minutes of his post-game press conference to calling out Republicans by name for the response to the Tennessee school shooting, or lack thereof.
I couldn't believe it, so I wrote this thing down. Senator Marsha Blackburn, her comment after the massacre, "My office is in contact with federal, state, and local officials, and we stand ready to assist." In what? They're dead. What are you going to assist with? Cleaning up their brains off the wall? Wiping the blood off the schoolroom floor? What are you going to assist with? And then there's Governor Lee. I'm sorry to go on and on, but Bill Lee, "I'm closely monitoring the tragic situation. Please join us in prayer." What are you monitoring? They're dead. Children. They're dead. The amendment, the freedom. You know, it's a myth. It's a joke. It's just a game they play. I mean, that's freedom. Is it freedom for kids to go to school and try to socialize and try to learn and be scared to death that they might die that day? But Ted Cruz will fix it because he's going to double the number of cops in the schools. That's what he wants to do. Well, that'll create a great environment. Is that freedom? Or is it freedom to have a congressman who can make a postcard with all his family holding rifles, including an AR-15 or whatever? Is that cool? Is that like street cred for a Republican? That's freedom? That's more important than protecting the kids? I don't get it. You know, the greed of the gun lobbies and the manufacturers is obvious. We all know that. Money talks. But the cowardice and the selfishness of the legislators who are so scared to death of being primaried and losing their job, losing their power, losing their salary, you'd like to get each one of them in a room, just one by one, and say, what's more important to you? If you could vote for some good gun safety laws that most of the public agrees to, would you do that if it saved one kid? Or is your job and your money so important to you that you would say, screw the kid?
Now, as he usually does, Pop hits on several key areas here, none more so than politicians being anchored to the gun lobby. Now, Coach Popovich mentioned Marsha Blackburn here, who is one of Tennessee's two senators who has received $1.3 million from the NRA throughout her political career.
That happened yesterday in Nashville at Covenant School and Covenant Presbyterian Church, and my family and I are grieving along with the rest of the community, and I thank you, Mr. Secretary, for your call yesterday, your kind remarks today. And violence against children is just one of the most...
I'm Marsha Blackburn. I stand for the Second Amendment, and I am so honored to be endorsed by the NRA.
Guns, well, they represent identity to the GOP. They act as a symbol of rebellion to them and Republican voters. That's why you see them constantly discuss them in campaign ads attacking Democrats. People like Marsha Blackburn, well, they know that, especially in the wake of tragedy, because there's a fear that that identity will be chipped away at. Think about it, only 37% of Republicans support assault weapons bans, and only 43% support a government database to track gun sales. Meanwhile, nationally, well, these restrictions have a much higher polling rate of around 63%. So yes, while the NRA plays a huge part financially, to me, it's more so their contribution to identity that codifies guns as the symbol of the Republican Party. And the best way to chip away at that identity is to vote, especially in places like this.
So once again, what you're saying to us, since you're trying to put us on trial, I'll say what you're really putting on trial is the state of Tennessee. What you're really showing for the world is holding up a mirror to a state that is going back to some dark, dark roots, a state in which the Ku Klux Klan was founded, is now attempting another power grab by silencing the two youngest black representatives and one of the only women, Democratic women in this body. That's what this is about.
But we need young leaders combating that identity in red states.
Our blue wall stopped the red wave and election deniers got denied election. That's why we're celebrating with the new Democracy Prevails team. We've got lots of work to do, but we should all be proud that when democracy was tested, democracy prevailed. You've earned this. Don't wait. Get yours right now at store.midastouch.com. That's store.midastouch.com.
$1.6 million the government in Tennessee. By the way, Tennessee is also the home of where two of the manufacturers of assault rifles are made. And some people say, Gary, we don't want sports in our politics. We don't want politics in our sport. Well, let me give you a little history next year. 1936. Berlin, Germany. Jesse Owens, 100-meter dash, and 2 more races. Mind Fuhrer, generator winner, reviews to meet with Jesse Owens. That's about it, his words. 1968, Mexico City, Mexico. Autos and Smith on the podium. Bare feet. Raise this in honor of African Americans. That's about it, this word. 1972, Munich, Germany. Kidnapping the Israeli team. On German soil. All died. That's politics. It's words. Lord Kaepernick, 2015, protesting the inconsistency of race and economics in America. A president of the United States attacking Mr. Kaepernick, calling him names. That's politics. It's words. We would not be a better nation without politics. It's words. And you know, on my show, I love sports. But I also know the power of politics. I'm very proud of the two Justins in Tennessee. They carried the torch that Martin Luther King carried. They carried the torch of Mary Lou Hamer. They carried the torch of Harriet Tubman. Yes, they carried the torch of Malcolm X, who had the crossroads, guns, race, and power. United States, who had the crossroads, and these two young black warriors, the two Justins, did the unthinkable, and whatever it was, they went against protocol. They didn't do it by the rules. Speaking of rules, America changes the rules whenever they feel like it. America rearranges the program whenever they feel like it. So going out to these two guys is ludicrous at best. And whatever it was, it backfired on them. It backfired because now in the voice of Tennessee, in the voice of the United States, in the voice of Black America. in the Ku Klux Klan days, the old boy days, boy keep the place, boy keep the mouth shut, boy obey the rules. Well, guess what? It didn't work. And now you got a problem. Because the whole world watching. Now you got a problem. Because now you have to reinstate and deal with these two black young men.
Now it's time for the last word with Lawrence O'Donnell. Good evening, Lawrence.
Good evening, Rachel. It is Justin night here on MSNBC. You just had reinstated Representative Justin Jones from Tennessee. I am going to have the not yet reinstated Representative Justin Pearson join us
as
our first guest tonight. And so it is remarkable to see how fast this story has moved and to see that. Reinstatement tonight was just a really, really exciting video, and I'm glad you relayed it the way you did during your hour, that mini documentary you gave us.
Well, I have to say, seeing people on the lawn or the front of the Tennessee Capitol today saying, no Justins, no peace, no Justins, no peace, as opposed to just no justice, no peace.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was pretty irresistible. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that with Representative Pearson tonight.
Thank you, Rachel. Thank you.
Thanks, Lawrence.
Well, the resurrection that was promised last week came tonight at the state capitol in Tennessee.
They tried to kill hope and love, but resurrection is always guaranteed after persecution.
That was Tennessee Representative Justin J. Pearson, who will be our first guest tonight. Today, Mr. Pearson's partner in expulsion from the Tennessee House, Representative Justin Jones, was resurrected as a member of the legislature when local officials in his district, following the procedure for filling a vacancy in the legislature, voted to fill the vacancy created by Justin Jones' expulsion by Republicans from the legislature with Justin Jones. Justin Jones was then sworn in as a member of the legislature, which was followed by Representative Justin Jones' triumphant, truly triumphant return to the House of Representatives, while the Republican members of that House watched in humiliation and possibly rage. Local officials in Justin Pearson's district are expected to meet Wednesday to vote to send him back to the House of Representatives and thus complete the triumphant return of the only two members of the Tennessee House of Representatives to be expelled because of what the Republicans in the House called a violation of decorum. After not being allowed to speak on the House floor about the latest mass murder in a Tennessee school in which three educators and three nine-year-old children were murdered, Representatives Pearson, Jones, and Gloria Johnson went to the floor of the House with a megaphone during a recess to respond to and encourage student protesters in the galleries who were protesting the Republican legislature's refusal to do anything about mass murder in Tennessee, including access to the AR-15, which was used in that school shooting in Tennessee and was used again today in Kentucky. Today's mass murder in Kentucky was someone who would pass any background check for purchasing firearms that exists anywhere in America. Background checks do not prevent first-time murderers from buying their first weapons of murder, buying their first AR-15s. A 25-year-old man working at a bank in Louisville, Kentucky, showed up at work today with an AR-15 and shot and murdered five people working at the bank, including his bosses. He was a high school basketball star, a graduate of the University of Alabama, and a banker. So you can add that to the profile of people who should not be allowed to purchase AR-15s, which is to say everyone. The only thing that can prevent a person like that legally purchasing an AR-15 is to make the sale of the AR-15 illegal, the way it was for 10 years after Senator Joe Biden passed a law banning the sale of assault weapons in the 1990s. That law stayed in effect for 10 years until Republican President George W. Bush and the Republican-controlled Congress deliberately refused to extend the life of that law. And in the process, those Republicans have ended lives because George W. Bush and the Republican Congress and Republican legislators in state legislatures in Tennessee and Kentucky have done everything they possibly can to make sure that America's mass murderers are the very best equipped mass murderers in the world. There's nothing more they could possibly do. If mass murderers had a lobby, they would have nothing to ask for because Republicans have given them every law they could possibly want in order to easily purchase AR-15s and kill as many people as they possibly can before, as happened today, the police kill the mass murderer. We don't know if any Democrats in the Kentucky state legislature across the border from Tennessee will be expelled this week or next week because they protest inaction by Republican legislators. But we can be absolutely sure that the Republicans in the Kentucky legislature will do absolutely nothing to stop the next mass murderer from legally purchasing an AR-15 in Kentucky. Am I next? That's what children protesting mass murders of their classmates around the country are asking. Am I next? And tonight, local bank managers and bank tellers can ask themselves, am I next? Anyone in an American movie theater can ask, am I next? Anyone in a shopping mall, anyone in a church, it doesn't matter where you are or where you go, you could be next. And Republicans insist that's the way it should be. I am a man. That was the rallying cry in Tennessee in 1968 that brought the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. to Tennessee to support the sanitation workers' strike in Memphis after two sanitation workers, Robert Walker and Echo Cole, were killed on the job. The workers who collected the trash from the street and threw it into the trucks were not allowed to ride inside the trucks, even when it was raining. In the rain, those workers took shelter by sitting inside that huge scoop at the back of the trash trucks. And when the compressor on their truck suddenly malfunctioned, Robert Walker and Echo Cole, sheltering from the rain in the scoop, were dragged into the innards of the truck with the garbage. Robert Walker and Echo Cole were swallowed, broken up, and crushed to death in the trash inside that truck. All of their coworkers walked off the job and demanded the right to join a union. Their protest slogan was simply, I am a man. That was what brought Dr. King to Memphis for what turned out to be the final speech of his life. The mayor of Memphis then got a court-ordered injunction to forbid Dr. King from leading a protest march in Memphis. The right-wing conservatives of Tennessee used a legal process to try to silence Martin Luther King. Exactly what right-wing conservatives are still trying to do in Tennessee, as we saw last week. Dr. King said that the injunction against the protest march was something that he would expect from the totalitarian governments in China and Russia at the time. To a packed audience inside the Mason Temple in Memphis, the night before he was assassinated, Dr. King said, "Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will, and he's allowed me to go up to the mountain, and I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land, and I am happy. I am so happy tonight." Those were the last words publicly spoken by Martin Luther King. Last week, this country heard the very first words spoken by our next guest that went national, that had the reach of Martin Luther King's speeches, reached beyond Tennessee, words that were heard in every corner of this nation. People who heard Dr. King speak have told me that what they heard last week from Representative Jones and Representative Pearson were voices like Dr. King's, voices that can lead this country through the darkest days with hope.
This week especially, Holy Week, we remember also Dr. King and the forebearers of the Civil Rights Movement who taught us about civil disobedience as a way to get action. Dr. King taught us that sometimes there's a consciousness above rule, above what you might say is law, and that the true forms of protest is nonviolent disobedience. For less than a few minutes, we and you are seeking to expel District 86's representation from this house in a country that was built on a protest. In a country that was built on a protest. You who celebrate July 4th, 1776, pop fireworks and eat hot dogs. You say to protest is wrong because you spoke out of turn, because you spoke up for people who are marginalized. You spoke up for children who won't ever be able to speak again. You spoke up for parents who don't want to live in fear. You spoke up for Larry Thorne, who was murdered by gun violence. You spoke up for people that we don't want to care about. In a country built on people who speak out of turn, who spoke out of turn, who fought out of turn to build a nation. I come from a long line of people who have resisted. I come from a long line of people who have fought injustice. I come from a long line of people who know what it means to face adversity in difficult days. We all have a responsibility. We all have an obligation to do what is just, to do what is right, and to do what is fair. And what I can promise to those of you who have cried today, those of you who mourn the seeming end and assault on our democracy, but I can say to folks who are worried about whether or not, as one sign said, am I next? What I can say to you is that the movement for justice can never die, because the heart for justice can never be killed, because it lives and it beats in each and every one of us. It cannot die because we will not let it die. I'll tell you that folks have tried to kill it. They tried to put it on a tree called Calvary. They tried to kill hope and love, but resurrection is always guaranteed after persecution.
Leading off our discussion tonight is currently expelled Democratic State Representative Justin J. Pearson of Tennessee. Thank you very, very much for joining us tonight. I really appreciate it. And let me begin just by saying thank you for what you taught us all last week about how to follow the events of what was happening in Tennessee and what was important about them. As you look at the last few days through to tonight, what would you say about winning and losing? Who is winning what, and who is losing what in Tennessee?
First, my heart goes out to the folks in Louisville who are suffering from another of the country's often too frequent mass shootings because of the inaction of people in state legislatures across this country who are much more willing to listen to the voices of the National Rifle Association than the nation of people who are asking for common sense gun laws to prevent weapons of war from being in the hands of normal people. And it is very sad that day after day, week after week, we are having to know that loved ones are preparing for funerals of people who should not be gone this soon. And so to those families, we grieve and we still mourn with you, just as we do our loved ones here in Nashville. And in our community, too often, we experience these murders on a consistent basis. Democracy is losing in Tennessee. We who believe in justice and freedom are losing in a state where you have leaders in positions of power who are wielding that power abusively and are operating much more like this is a mobocracy than a democracy. They are operating much more like they are dictators rather than people who are representing the will of those who want to see justice done. Folks like Cameron Sexton, who refuses to hear the voices and the cries and the dissent of people and would rather have us expelled out of the House than have District 86's representation there. And still, even amidst persecution, what we are witnessing across the state and across this nation is a resurgence of hope that we can end gun violence, that we can center the voices of those who may not be able to speak anymore, but ensure that their lives are not lost in vain, that there is a resurgence of optimism that even in states like Tennessee, we can pass just gun laws, we can make sure we protect our communities, and that can be done if we remain and as we remain persistent to this moment and to this cause, despite all that the Republican Party is seeking to do and despite all that those who want to keep the status quo the same are doing. And that is reason for folks to have hope and to have optimism. But when democracy is at stake in the way that it is, as elected leaders are being expelled from a state house after we were duly elected by the people we represented to do just what we did, which was speak up on behalf of them and alongside them in those galleries, those thousands of children and parents who our speaker called insurrectionists. We were sent there to speak up on behalf of them and answer the question that they are telling us to do something. And am I next to respond that we don't want that to happen? But instead of that, we're focused on expelling members of the House rather than answering the calls of our people to do something.
It seems the only vote of any kind in reaction to a mass murder in Tennessee that this speaker has allowed is a vote to expel you.
I mean, this is the problem in our state. The response is never to the issue at hand. It is to silence the voice of the minority. It is to silence the conversation of dissent that says the NRA doesn't deserve to dictate our legislative policies. It is always to silence the people who are trying to bring folks from the periphery to the center of the conversation, the mothers and the fathers and the grandparents and the siblings who are sad and who are mourning and grieving the loss of loved ones from gun violence that we're experiencing every day. What we are seeing from Cameron Sexton, from the Republican Party in Tennessee, is that they do not want to have any compassion or any empathy or any care. They would rather legislate inequity and injustice on behalf of gun lobbyists than actually listen to the voices of people in our community who are asking for us to do something. We oftentimes hear the complaints, and I've had it myself, about the politicians sending their thoughts and prayers. And now that we are in elected positions, we don't just have to have thoughts and prayers. We can have action and legislation passed that prevents gun violence in the first place. We have budgets that can put resources behind supporting people and communities to ensure that gun violence is not something that is perpetuated. And we cannot look and isolate this issue just to our schools. As we see in Louisville, it's in our banks. As we saw in Charleston, it's our churches. There's a proliferation of gun violence in our communities. And instead of addressing the issue, Cameron Sexton and the Republican Party is doing things that are anti-democratic in order to silence the voice of people who are exercising the First Amendment in a peaceful way to ensure that the voices of those who may not be able to speak anymore still ring loud in our present day.
Your colleague, Justin Jones, told Rachel Maddow in the previous hour that he was on an elevator just today with one of the Republicans who initiated this resolution to expel you. And he said, I asked him, did he learn anything from this experience? And he was silent. Can you imagine a moment like that that will be in your future as you expect to be reinstated on Wednesday in one of those elevators in the Capitol this week or next week with someone who was part of the initiative to get you expelled? Can you imagine what you might ask them in a moment like that?
Yes, what I'll ask them is, what just legislation are you going to pass to ensure that we don't have more children and families suffering under the brutality of gun violence? What actions are you going to deliberately take to ensure that our communities are actually protected and not offer false solutions about putting more guns in schools or more guns into our community to protect us? I'll ask, how many hundreds of millions of dollars can we provide to people in our communities who are doing the work of preventing gun violence in order that we can ensure that this is no longer a problem? How much money are we going to put towards poverty reduction? How much money can we put towards Medicaid expansion to ensure those who need access to health care and medical care are able to receive it? That's the type of questions that I'm going to be sure to ask, because their silence is something that I do expect.
Former and future Democratic State Representative Justin J. Pearson of Tennessee, thank you very, very much for joining us tonight. Please come back as soon as you can find the time to do so. We need to hear more of what you have to tell us about all of this, these issues and more. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Lawrence. We'll keep fighting and we'll do.
Thank you.
In the Republican Party of Tennessee, call these two men insurrectionists. Now you compare January 7th or January 6th to this, it's like night and day. January 6th, police guard died. January 6th, hundreds were injured. January 6th, property was destroyed. People were arrested. That's an insurrection. What happened in Tennessee was a revolution, not insurrection. January 6th was a power grab, once again, with people getting injured. Last week, it was a power grab, too, because people didn't obey the rules of decorum. But America always changes the rules in the middle of the game. And then eventually you know the rules and can't break them. January 6th was an insurrection. Last week was not. Was it a political turmoil? Yes. Did it go against the Republican norm? Yes. And y'all keep saying, we don't want our politics in our sport. This is the reason why we do it. This is the reason why it's been done over the last 80 years. They'll do it again. My fellow Americans, this was an attempt to keep these two young men quiet. Back in the Ku Klux Klan days. Sit down, boy. Be quiet, boy. Play by our rules, boy. Well, these two young gentlemen said, no, no, we're not doing that. Not today. And you want to play by the rules, okay? Well, those same Republicans go after Mr. Trump. Donald J. Trump has broken the rules many times. Nobody said a word. It's okay. But when two strong black men break the rules, well, we got to get out of here. How many more times we got to do this? How many more times are we going to see police running to the scene? A bank? A post office? A farm? A movie theater? A mall? How many more times before we take action? How many more children are going to be laid to rest? How many more parents have to worry about their children? This is a question Republicans need to ask. They don't care. Because they get paid. They don't care. It needs to stop. It needs to stop. And I tell you, in 2024, there's going to be a message sent. You keep attacking black men. You keep attacking children. You keep attacking gay and lesbian, transgender people. You keep attacking anybody that doesn't look like you. When you go to stop, we are the United States of America. We are multicultural. That makes us a better land. A better place with multiple languages, multiple foods. That's what you're scared of. We got a ways to go, brothers. We got a ways to go here. And time is running out. Time is running out because somebody's gonna do something really stupid. And walk into a closed door, into everybody's door. I mean, everybody. You don't care. That's the part that gives me. You don't care. Your money and your power, all that counts.
we begin today's show in Tennessee, where a Republican supermajority in the state legislature carried out its threat Thursday to expel two black Democratic lawmakers from their seats for peacefully protesting gun violence on the House floor last week, breaking with decorum as thousands rallied outside the Capitol to demand gun control days after the Covenant Elementary School shooting in Nashville that killed six, including 3 9-year-olds. Justin Jones of Nashville and Justin Pearson of Memphis are both African-American and from Tennessee's two largest cities. They were part of the Tennessee Three, but the vote to expel their white colleague, Gloria Johnson, who joined them in solidarity, narrowly failed. In a minute, we'll speak with Jones. But first, we bring you some of the historic scenes that unfolded as Justin Jones and his colleagues defended themselves and supporters looked on from a packed gallery but stayed quiet so they could witness the proceedings. This is Representative Jones facing questioning from his Republican colleague and laying out his defense.
I was shocked to have the Speaker of the House condemn mothers and children and grandmothers and parents and concerned citizens, clergy, lie on them and say that they were violent insurrectionists. And I think that he owes the people of Tennessee an apology. Because at no point was there violence. At no point did we encourage violence. In fact, what we were doing was calling for the end of gun violence that is terrorizing our children day after day after day, and all we offer are moments of silence. It is in that spirit of speaking for my constituents, of being a representative of the people, that I approached this well on last Thursday, breaking a house rule, but exercising moral obedience to my constitutional responsibility to be a voice for my people, to be a voice for the Tennesseans who you choose not to listen to because of those NRA checks that are so hefty in your campaign funds. There comes a time where people get sick and tired of being sick and tired.
One of the questions that keeps coming back to my mind that I hope maybe you can answer is when you say no action, no peace. What do you mean? What does Representative Jones mean by no peace? Thank you.
Representative Jones.
Thank you. I would invite my colleague from Putnam County to join any protest where that is a very familiar chant that usually goes, no justice, no peace. And I believe the roots of it lie in something that Martin Luther King stated, that true peace is not merely the absence of tension, but it is the presence of justice. That's what I was saying, is that until we act, there will be no peace in our communities. In addition, I would like to read some context about that chant that comes from Jeremiah 6:14. I'll read the New Living Translation. It says, they offer superficial treatments for my people's mortal wound. They give assurances of peace where there is no peace. I'll go to the New International Version. They dress the wound of my people as though it was not serious. Peace, 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 they say, where there is no peace. That's what the chant means, is that we have no peace. And that until we act, there will be no peace for the thousands of children who came here demanding that we act, who are afraid that if they're in school, they will be gunned down because you have passed laws to make it easier to get a gun than it is to get health care in this state. You pass laws to make it easier to get a gun than it is to vote in this state. And so that there will be no peace in Tennessee until we act on this proliferation of weapons of war in our community. That is the peace I was talking about. That is what I was saying. Representative Williams, thank you for your question.
After his questioning by Republican Ryan Williams, Tennessee Republican lawmakers gave Representative Justin Jones 5 minutes before their vote. This is how he concluded.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To my colleagues on the other side of the aisle, I want to say that you have the power, you have the votes to do what you're going to do today. But I want to let you know that when I came to this well, I was fighting for your children and grandchildren too. But to those who here will cast a vote for expulsion, I was fighting for your children too. to live free from the terror of school shootings and mass shootings. When I walked up to this well on last Thursday, I was thinking about the thousands of students who were outside demanding that we do something. In fact, many of their signs said, do something, do something, do something. That was their only ask of us, is to respond to their grief, to respond to a traumatized community. But in response to that, the first action of this body is to expel members for calling for common sense gun legislation. We were calling for a ban of assault weapons, and the response of this body is to assault democracy. This is a historic day for Tennessee, but it may mark a very dark day for Tennessee, because it will signal to the nation that there is no democracy in this state. It will signal to the nation that if it can happen here in Tennessee, it's coming to your state next. And that is why the nation is watching us, what we do here. My prayer to you is that even if you expel me, that you still act to address the crisis of mass shootings, because if I'm expelled from here, I'll be back out there with the people every week demanding that you act. I pray that we uphold our oath on this floor, because, colleagues, the world is watching.
Pursuant to Article 2, Section 12 of the Constitution of the State of Tennessee, I hereby declare Representative Justin Jones of the 57th Representative District expelled from the House of Representatives of the 113th Assembly of the State of Tennessee.
That was Speaker Cameron Sexton announcing the expulsion of Tennessee State Representative Justin Jones from the State House Thursday in a party line vote. Republicans also voted to expel his fellow freshman, another 27-year-old Black Democratic Representative Justin Pearson, who also faced questions as he defended himself. This is part of Representative Pearson's exchange with Republican Representative Andrew Farmer.
That's why you're standing there, because of that temper tantrum that day, for that yearning to have attention. That's what you wanted. But you're getting it now. So I just advise you, if you want to conduct business in this house, file a bill. Be recognized, stand there and present it, and pass it. All you got to do is pass the bill.
Representative Pierce.
Now, you all heard that. How many of you would want to be spoken to that way? How many of you would want to be spoken to that way? We're not talking about politics. We're not talking about even gun violence. How many of you would want to be spoken to that way? The reason that I believe the sponsor of this legislation, of this resolution, spoke that way is because he's comfortable doing it, because there's a decorum that allows it. There's a decorum that allows you to belittle people. We didn't belittle nobody. What we said was that we cannot be beholden to gun lobbyists, to the NRA. We can't be beholden to organizations that don't want to see us make progress on gun violence. We can't be beholden to folks who don't want to see us help save our communities and protect them. But there's something else I think that the sponsor of this resolution has alluded to, and there were a few things here that you said that I want to address. He called a peaceful protest a temper tantrum. Is what's happening outside these doors by Tennesseans who want to see change a temper tantrum? Is Sarah, whose son Noah was at the Covenant School, he survived, he's 5 years old, and she showed up here demanding that we do something about gun violence, is that a temper tantrum? Is elevating our voices for justice or change a temper tantrum? But there's something in the decorum of this body that makes it okay to say that folks who are exercising their First Amendment rights to speak up for the hundreds of thousands of people collectively that we represent, there's something in the decorum of this body that says it's okay to call that a temper tantrum, to call people we disagree with on the issues, to say that all they want is attention. But I'll tell you what, I don't personally want attention. What I want is attention on the issue of gun violence. But instead, we're here with a resolution you put up talking about expelling me for advocating for ending gun violence in the state of Tennessee. I'd much rather be talking with you about legislation to protect Shelby County and to protect our communities than talking about why we don't deserve to have our representation lost because we came to the
camp
house saying we've got to do something. That's what I would like to be doing. And so you brought attention or tried to bring attention to me, but I want to turn the attention to the people. The people who will never be able to throw a temper tantrum for gun violence. You know, the Larry Thorns, the Catherine Kuntzes, the Mike Hills, the Cynthia Peake, the Evelyn Decaus, the Haley Scruggs, the William Kinneys, who will never have a chance to throw what you call a temper tantrum for justice, for gun reform, for the ending of gun violence. They'll never have a chance. Because we haven't taken our oath seriously. Because we don't take people who we disagree with seriously. We tell them, you just are throwing a temper tantrum.
Ultimately, Tennessee Republicans voted to expel Democratic Representative Justin Pearson from the House as well. At one point during his final remarks, the official TV feed for the Tennessee House continued to wrongly identify him as his colleague, Dan Jones, as he was giving his final statement. Pearson ended by saying the struggle had just begun.
Oh, we have good news, folks. We've got good news that Sunday always comes. Resurrection is a promise, and it is a prophecy. It's a prophecy that came out of the cotton fields. It's a prophecy that came out of the lynching tree. It's a prophecy that still lives in each and every one of us in order to make the state of Tennessee the place that it ought to be. So I still got hope because I know we are still here, and we will never quit.
During the vote, thousands of supporters rallied in the halls of the state capitol and outside when a reporter asked Democratic Representative Gloria Johnson why she thought there was a difference between her outcome. She was not expelled, but her colleagues were. This was her response.
I will answer your question. It might have to do with the color of our skin.
Representative Gloria Johnson was a teacher at Central High School in Knoxville that faced a school shooting more than a decade ago. At the end of the night, the lawmakers, now known as the Tennessee Three, stood together again, and Johnson vowed to work to get her expelled colleagues back in the House.
And I just cannot say enough about how proud I am always and forever to stand with these two brilliant young men who connect with their community, who really listen and understand the voters in their districts and across the state, who can tell everybody in the most powerful way. They spoke to our members. They won't admit it, I don't think, but they spoke to those hearts. I could see it on faces.
Yeah.
But still, what's the difference where I made it through and these two young men did not make it through? I think you're right. We know.
We know why.
But here's the difference. I think we might have these two young men back very soon. And that's both of them back.
Yeah.
Representative Gloria Johnson standing next to the Justins, Justin Pearson and Justin Jones, who had just been expelled by the Tennessee State Legislature. Well, we're joined right now by Justin Jones, expelled Democratic Tennessee State Representative of Nashville. Welcome back. Thanks so much for joining us again after this marathon day. Your feelings yesterday as you stood with such passion yet composure, dressing down your colleagues who were questioning you, then expelling you. Justin Jones.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me again, Amy. It's good to be here.
So your feelings right now, how is it possible? I mean, it's not like you were hired to work at a store and then you were fired. You were elected by the people of Nashville. So how is it that a Republican supermajority can fire you, can expel you?
Gotcha. Sorry, I couldn't hear your other question, but I mean, I'm feeling, you know, when it happened, it didn't feel real. I didn't, you know, if I didn't know what happened to me, I would think it was 1963 and not 2023, that a predominantly almost entirely white Republican caucus expelled the two youngest black lawmakers, not for any unethical or criminal behavior, but for our First Amendment activity and for standing and doing our job to speak up for our constituents and to speak up particularly for young people who are terrified of these weapons of war on our streets. And so I'm feeling I'm tired, but more so I'm tired of the injustice that rules the state capitol. But I think that what they've done, though, is the complete opposite. They may have won yesterday, but they have not won the moral narrative as we go forward, that they thought by expelling us they would silence us, they would silence our movements that we're part of. But in fact, they've amplified it because the nation can see how racist they are. The nation can see how retaliatory and absurd and authoritarian they are. And so I think that is what gives me hope, is that they tried to kick us out, but instead they put a spotlight on themselves for their shameful policies that make it easier to get a gun than it is to get health care in this state.
You know, we spoke to you a few days ago. I was going to say Representative Jones, but you are Representative Jones. The question is, will you be just immediately reinstated next week? They're talking about your behavior as you spoke out from the well of the House of Representatives in Tennessee. But I wanted to ask you about Republican State Representative Justin Lafferty. We showed this a few days ago as well, of Knoxville, who pushed you and grabbed your phone as you filmed the interaction. He attacked you. Can you talk about, was he disciplined for violent behavior?
Not at all. I mean, Representative Lafferty, the same representative who tried to justify the three-fifths compromise in the Constitution a couple of years ago, I mean, he can act, you know, out of decorum, out of rules, act violently, and he's welcome within his party. I mean, that's what we brought up yesterday, is that we've had so many instances of behavior. You had the Republican caucus chairman get upset at his son's basketball game and pull down the pants of the referee. That, you know, does not merit any type of sanction. You had a member who admitted to being a child molester, Representative David Byrd. He sat there without being expelled. You have David Hawk, you know, who was, you know, guilty of domestic violence. I mean, these things happened, and there was no accountability. But for us, for exercising our First Amendment activity, for saying that, you know, we took our oath seriously to protest against and dissent from any legislation that is injurious to the people, Article 2, Section 27 of the state constitution, we took that seriously. They expelled us, the most serious measure taken against us. And it's wrong, it's shameful. And what it really was about trying to silence the voices of the 78,000 people each of us represent in the most diverse district in the state.
Can you tell us, and this is an absolutely key point, you represent the largest and most diverse cities in Tennessee. The local governing bodies, for example, of Metro Nashville, could reappoint you immediately?
That's what we're hearing. The question will be, will the Republican supermajority seat us? And so, I mean, we would have to still run in a special election, and will the speaker seat us back in the body, or will they? Will this be a legal battle? Just like Julian Bond, you know, they refused to seat him in Georgia when he was a young man who ran for the legislature during the civil rights movement. And so we don't know what to expect. I mean, I don't think the nation, what happened yesterday was unprecedented, and it should alarm us all that if it can happen in Tennessee, it can happen anywhere. And so I hope that people are paying attention. I hope that people realize that this is authoritarianism, that this is ousting of opposition voices from a legislative body is authoritarianism. This is not democracy. I know I'm on democracy now, but this is definitely not what democracy looks like. And we are on a very scary path toward fascism, toward authoritarianism, toward autocracy in Tennessee, the birthplace of the Ku Klux Klan.
And let's remember the significance of this week. I mean, this is the week of April 4th, April 4th, 1968, Memphis, Tennessee. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was gunned down, and we're also here talking about gun violence that began this protest you were involved with, Justin Jones. But so there was the Tennessee Three, you, Justin Pearson, and Gloria Johnson. You both are 27. She's 60 years old. You are both black. She is white. She made no bones about this. She said the reason she was not expelled and you two were was the color of your skin. At the end, I was watching, walking through the streets of New York, watching on my phone what was happening. And when Justin Pearson gave his final comments, the Tennessee feed from the House of Representatives called him Justin Pearson, like they couldn't tell the difference between the two of you.
Yeah, they called him, they confused his name, Justin Jones.
Oh, sorry, called him Justin Jones, your name.
Yeah. I mean, that is it, is that they saw two young black men who, you know, speak up on the House floor, you know, speak up in committees and challenge this dominant narrative of white supremacy, of plantation capitalism, of patriarchy, and that terrified them, that we, you know, were the two youngest lawmakers. I'm 27, Pearson's 28, and that, you know, we represent the future of this state, and that is what they're trying to stop, is that they want to hold on to this old South when we're trying to bring a renewed South that uplifts human rights and democracy, multiracial democracy, and social justice. And so what we saw yesterday was a public lynching, let's be real, and it was meant to set an example, but we did not bow down. And that's what I think has them, you know, really upset, is that we didn't bow down. They wanted us to, you know, to feel broken, but we left with our fists up in the air because we knew that that this was not the end, that they may expel us, but they can't expel our movements, and that's what terrifies them.
Well, Justin Jones, I want to thank you for being with us. Of course, we'll continue to follow this. A major protest is planned for Monday, I know. Will you be out there?
I definitely will. I'll be outside of that chamber with these young people, showing up every week until we take action to take these weapons of war off our street and until we honor the victims of Covenant Elementary School by acting.
Justin Jones, expelled Democratic Tennessee State Representative, representing Nashville, author of The People's Plaza, 62 Days of Nonviolent Resistance, with a foreword by Bishop William Barber. Thanks so much for being with us.
The people rest. We will then, morning, with Brother Ingram, with the Grace Hour Davis Board, hope you enjoy the show. See you tomorrow night on Soul Day of the Raw. Good night.